Our mission here at Walk Church is simply this. It's one sentence, but it's important that we grasp it. It's freeing people to walk in Jesus. And last week we talked about the first part of this phrase, freeing people. That Jesus is on a mission for you to be more free. Not to be more religious, but to experience more of his freedom. Amen? In fact, in Luke chapter 4, as Jesus steps into a teaching moment in the synagogue, he unravels the scroll and he goes to a specific point in scripture where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim freedom to those who are oppressed." What does that teach us? Jesus is he's about our freedom. In fact, my prayer for you is that as you continue to pursue him, you feel a little bit more free. You just get more free in your walk with Jesus. And that's not freedom to sin, it's freedom from sin, right? Last week we talked about how Jesus in his freedom sets us free in three areas. Number one, sets us free from the penalty of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Even back to the garden, it's what God spoke to Adam and Eve. He says, if you give in to sin, it's gonna lead to death. He frees us from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus. He frees us from the power of sin by his Holy Spirit empowering us for even greater. And he frees us from the presence of sin, which is something we look toward in eternity. I'm grateful for the presence of the Savior that we await in heaven. Amen? Right, so through freedom, what does it mean to be free? It means that you're free from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. That gives you a new walk, it gives you a new talk, it gives you a new heart, it gives you a new way of seeing life. Jesus wants you to experience his freedom. Somebody needed that over here, and I received that. More, listen to me, church, more than just you leaving here and going to a suit store and buying a suit and tie or a long dress and getting one of those Bibles that have the zipper around it and you're like, look at the Christian me. We have this facade in our head where we can somehow make up a specialized Christian version of ourselves. No, Jesus doesn't want you to grow in doing more stuff for him. He wants you to grow in being free in him. You could have the suit on and still be in sin. Jesus wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to be free to worship, not because you have to, because you want to. I want it. David said, oh, I was glad when they said, come into the house of the Lord. He was excited to worship. And my prayer is that we would get a little bit more free the more we pursue Jesus, the mission. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But the statement here that I want to put on the screen on when it comes to our mission is our mission is freeing people to walk in Jesus. So the first part of the message was freeing people. That was last week. You can go lean into that online if you want. Part two today that I want to talk about is focusing in on the walk in Jesus. Freeing people not just to twiddle our thumbs and high five each other and say, man, I'm free. I just don't got nothing to do. I don't have no purpose. You do. You have a purpose. Can I tell you what it is? It's for Jesus to live his life through you. He has a purpose. Christ wants to do incredible things with your life to walk in him. So if you're ready, say ready. If you're hungry, say, let's eat. Let's eat. Well, Heavenly Father, we're ready to eat from your word. We know man doesn't live off bread alone. We live off your word. So feed us now. Speak to us now. Holy Spirit, teach us now. Just in a moment of stillness, would you just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you? God, each and every person here, help us not to jump ahead. Help us not to live in the past. But right now, help us to be right where our feet are. And hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to throw a scripture up here on the screen that means a lot to me, that has been transformative for my life and really informs the name of our church. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Here's what the verse says. Come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This verse right here was such a big deal for me when I first came across it because it showed me that we're not just called to believe in Jesus, then leave Jesus, but the verse implies that we would walk in Jesus. Sometimes people ask, where does the name Walk Church come from? It comes from this verse. I love when people say, so you guys as a church go on walks? And I've been trying to tell Pastor Josh, we need a walk charge group, right? Like where we actually do that, because sometimes people are like, man, walk church, that's like a cool concept. I'm like, well, that's not kind of quite how it works. It's more so that we're walking in Jesus. The church is called to take their next step in following him, to walk in him, to walk with him, to walk by him, his spirit leading us. And so as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, Paul says that word so walk it out. So take your next step in walking in him. So freeing people to walk in him, freeing people to walk in Jesus, that's what we define as making a disciple. Now, what does it mean to walk in Jesus? And maybe today you would ask, how do I know if I am walking in Jesus? I think that's a good question. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Pastor Hayden, how do I know if I'm walking in him? Maybe that's where you're at today. And that's the question that I want to deal with in this sermon. How do you know if you're walking in Christ? Number one, it begins with receiving Jesus. Here's how you know if you're walking in Jesus. It begins with receiving Jesus. Now, I know why I didn't receive any amens. Just one, Because I think for many of us, we think, okay, move on. We got that already. But I want to be a little bit more slow in helping us understand what this says. Walking in Jesus begins with receiving Jesus. Notice I didn't say believing in Jesus. There's a difference between receiving and believing. Both are important. Both are necessary. I do not want to diminish believing by any means, but notice in Colossians 2:6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walking first begins with receiving. There's a form of believing. Hear me, church. There's a form of believing where you intellectually would say, yeah, I believe that Jesus is God, and I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I believe Jesus is the Savior, and I believe in all that. But I haven't received him as those things for me. And that's the difference. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, he says it like this. James chapter 2, verse 19. Let's look at this verse together. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. How about James is like, the demons got more reverence than a lot of us. The demons actually believe in God. Jesus steps on the scene, the demon-possessed man go, yo, that's Jesus. They know who he is. They know what he's about. Listen, today you might be sitting in here or online watching right now, and you would say, yeah, I believe in God. What makes you different than a demon? I'm gonna just let that sit for a second. That's what you got to figure out. The difference between a Bible-believing demon and a Christian that's walking in Jesus, the difference is receiving. There's believing, then there's receiving. And I believe that Jesus has not just came to be believed in, but received as who he is. I believe that. And today I want to ask you that question. Is it just head knowledge? Yeah, I believe. I tend to find quite a few people that would say, yeah, I believe. But if you checked their life, if you checked their heart, if you checked their walk, you'd question if they've received. I brought an illustration here. I have this box of shoes Some of you know that I'm a shoe guy, unapologetically. I've been like the same size since middle school of shoe, and I've always like been passionate about collecting shoes and Jordans, and the Lord's working with me on it. I do have a personal shoe ministry. It's one of my greatest joys and passions to give shoes away and to help people that are in need with shoes. So it's part of my calling as well. But a few years ago, I remember telling Nina about a specific pair of Air Jordans that I had been wanting for many years. It's the same colorway that he wore. They're called the Bread Toe Jordans with the black and the red. That makes bread. All right. Putting y'all on some shoe language right there. And I really wanted, I told Nina, I said, I'm going to get an envelope. I'm going to just put a few dollars away over the course of time, and I'm going to get these shoes. I'm excited about it. And then I didn't have the discipline to do that. And a year went past and I just didn't do it. All right. But then on Valentine's Day, Nina surprisingly blessed me with a box. And this wasn't meant to be an awe moment. I'm going somewhere, okay? But I received the awe moment. And I got this box, and I said, what is this? And in my head, I thought, I hope she knew. You know, I don't just get any old shoe. Let me open this slowly. Either way, I'm going to act like I'm surprised. Where is she at? She's giving me a look right now. But I remember opening this box, and when I saw the Bread Toe Jordan 1s, these bad boys right here, I love this shoe, all right? It's got like the tumbled quality, soft leather. I can still just start getting geeked out on this shoe right here. Now look, how weird would it be if Nina goes, here's the shoe. These are for you. This is a gift that I'm giving to you. How weird would it be if I stood here and I was like, I believe it. I believe that these are mine. And I'm grateful. And I walk past them. And I move on with my life. And they're like, yo, Aiden, you forgot the shoes. And I go, no, I believe them. I believe that they're Aiden, those are yours. I know, I believe it. There's a difference between believing that they're mine, the gift is mine, and actually receiving them and taking them and applying them and treasuring them, right? It's one thing to just believe that it's yours. It's another thing to receive the gift. You could say today, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I do. He's just not allowed in my house. Don't be like that. Some of us want to keep Jesus here in the middle school cafeteria. Yeah. He wants to get out. Yes. Like when you get in your vehicle, he's there. And he wants to continue to move in your life. The question is, have you received him into every single area in your life? That's what it means to be set free, to walk in Jesus, is that he has an all-access VIP pass into you. Every room, every secret, every trauma, every heartache, every sin that you don't want anybody to be aware of, I'm telling you, because of his deity and his omniscience, he already knows. Receive him. Beyond just believing that 2,000 years ago he died on a cross, receive the cross. Receive the gift. Open the gift. Receive him is what he's calling us to do. Jesus goes back to his hometown. He's there in Nazareth. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13 give us some insight here. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. That's a big reality. Jesus is a creator. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, oh, here's where we come in. Come on, amen. But to those who did receive the gift, not just believe, but receive, to all who did receive him, he who believed in his name, both are at work. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Right? This is the beginning of the Gospel of John, which shows us the importance of believing and receiving together. That our believing needs to move to receiving. Receive the gift of salvation of Christ and walk in Him. Notice what the verse says. What follows receiving is adopting. God tells us, right, who received Him and believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. What does that mean? That this is a radical thought. Not everybody's a child of God. I know that may be hard to grasp. Everybody is a creation of God. And that's a big deal because that means everybody holds significant value and dignity because you're created by God in His image and in His likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. But until you've received the Lord as Savior, you haven't been adopted into His family as a child of God. And you could be if you receive Him. It depends if you want to receive Him as Lord and Savior or not. It would be bizarre to go to an adoption agency or an orphanage and say, that's the child. I want to adopt them into my family. I've paid the cost. I've taken the classes. I know who this is. I've done everything I can. And the child says, I'm adopted. I believe it. But I don't receive it. That's the place we got to be. Do you receive Him today for who He is? Point number two, receiving leads to surrendering. It's a submitted surrender to His Lordship in your life. I want to put a pursue challenge up on the screen here. This is just something to be aware of. It's a challenge. Beware of gospel reductionism. Beware of gospel reductionism. And what do I mean when I say gospel reductionism? Gospel reductionism is when you reduce the gospel, you reduce the Lord Jesus into specific categories when He's so much more than that. That's kind of where we get the Jesus is my homeboy mentality. Like, Jesus is my homeboy, but He's not my Lord. He doesn't tell me what to do. He's just like the genie in the bottle when I like make a wish, He's supposed to grant it for me right then and there, or else I won't believe in Him. Whoa. You've reduced Jesus into an ATM machine. We've reduced Jesus into a buffet line. We take this scoop, but we skip that. Jesus says, either you receive me for all of me or don't receive me at all. We don't have that to decide. Jesus is coming with all of His godness. Come on, amen. The question is, have we received Him as such? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, as you received Christ. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Come on. Christ is His title. The word Christ, Christos, means the anointed Messiah, the anointed one that's come down from above to save sinners like me and you. Christ is who He is. He is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah. Have you received Him as Messiah? Jesus, the name Yeshua means Savior. Yeshua means the one who came to save, the Messiah who saves. Isn't His name important? Yeah. Therefore, as you received the Messiah who saves, who is in all ways the Lord. The Kurios, the phrase Lord means the one who is supremely, authoritatively in control. To receive Christ Jesus the Lord means that He's the one who saves you and at the same time calls you and at the same time leads you. And don't we need all of that? I think if we're not careful, we'll say, therefore, as you received the Messiah, the Savior, so walk in Him. Or sometimes we do this, therefore, as you received the Lord, so walk in Him. He's all of that. Don't we need the Savior and the Lord? What we need is the Lion, the Lord, and the Lamb, the Savior. He's both. Let us not reduce Jesus into just one or the other when we need Him to be the Lord and the Savior. His Lordship over our lives controls what we do. His lordship is worthy to be obeyed. To understand Jesus as Lord is significant because no, that means that you're no longer the Lord of your life. And I think the biggest challenge for Christians, including myself, is we want to still keep one hand on the net and follow Jesus with a hand. Notice the disciples drop their nets. I'm no longer the Lord of my life. Hey, part of Jesus setting you free is freeing you from having to be God. Freeing people to walk in Jesus is you removing yourself as Lord and now pronouncing Jesus as Lord and receiving him as such. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Praise God, I'm saved. Amen. Oh, let's not get bored with the fact that Jesus came to save sinners like us, because all of us got struggle. All of us got situations that we're navigating. I'm grateful that Jesus doesn't betray us. He saves us. We may betray him. He came to save. Saves us from the penalty, the power, the presence of sin. But he doesn't just save us. He calls us to receive him as Lord. This would have hit really home and been very much challenging for the disciples back in the early church in Rome. Because in the Roman context, where you had wicked emperors and rulers such as Caesar and Nero, who pronounced themselves to be the Lord of the land, what you would have to do is each citizen of the land or of Rome, or even when they had been conquering Israel at the time, you'd have to go make your pilgrimage up to where Caesar would have been. You would have had to pay a specific tax, bowed your knee and said, "Caesar's Lord." And then you move on with your life. But for the Christian, you can't do that. If you've received Jesus as Lord, so part of the revival that took place in the early church was the amount of Christians who have received Christ Jesus as Lord would then make their way and then in front of Nero say, "Jesus is Lord." And they would say, "Wait, say that again?" They would say, "I've received Jesus as Lord. I'll submit to you as your the ruling authority in the land, but not in the case where I would call you Lord. I only have one Lord. That's Christ." And Caesar and Nero would say, "Well, we'll feed you to the lions tonight." And then you have to decide, have you really received him? Do you really believe by faith? What happened in the Roman colony is that in the Colosseum, there were so many Christians being murdered for their faith that people in the stands started to feel some type of weirdness because they weren't running from the lions. They were singing, "How great is our God." And people were like, "Who is this God?" And evangelism started to break out through persecution. And people started saying, "Hey, most people run around, they don't actually believe in the stuff they believe in. These people really do. These people actually have received Jesus as the Savior for all of their sins and the Lord of their present life. And it's changed everything about them." The question that I want to ask you is, have you received him and are you surrendered to him? To his word, to his ways, to his will. Listen to me, church. Can I just tell you, on the authority of the Bible and as a satisfied disciple, there's more joy in following Jesus as Lord than there is in following anything else. Amen? There's a lot of counterfeit lords. There's a lot of pseudo gods that are proclaiming to be the thing. They're not. Christ is. I read this quote. It was a bit challenging. It comes from one of these older revivalists, A.W. Pink. He says it like this: "Thousands are deceived into supposing that they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior who have not first received him as their Lord." The Son of God did not come here to save his people in their sin, but from their sins. To be saved from sins is to be saved from ignoring and despising the authority of God. It is to abandon the course of self-will and self-pleasing. It is to forsake our way. It is to surrender to God's authority, to yield to his dominion, to give ourselves over to be ruled by him. That's why I'm given extra time to say, have I done that? Have I received him and his lordship over my life in such a way where, can I just tell you, we live in a society where our feelings are facts. Because I feel some type of way, that's my truth. And I gotta follow my feelings. And I don't want to discredit feelings as not real because they are real, but I just want to tell you, feelings are not your Lord. And so Jesus came to be Lord of all of it. And there's something within us that gets a little frightened to hand over the keys of our lives to the Lord. But I just want to tell you, he's good enough. He's big enough. And he's God enough to know everything you need. Everything you need. The Lord has what it takes. That's what I've found to be true, not just in the Bible, but in my own life. And I would encourage you to trust him as such. Final point, and then we'll be done here, is surrendering. Surrendering leads to obeying. This is where you experience the supernatural joy of obedience, the supernatural joy of allowing Christ to live and lead his life through you. Now, the first thing Jesus tells his disciples that want to follow him, what does he say? You must deny yourself and then take up your cross and then follow me. What's Jesus telling us? He's saying surrendering leads to obeying his voice, his word. And I want to say today, I found there to be more happiness and holiness. There's been more joy in trusting Jesus than in trusting myself. And I've done both. And I still battle, as do all of us. But I've found that when I give in to sin, I don't feel more joy. But when I have victory in my obedience, the joy always follows. Can I get an amen from somebody, a testify? David writes in Psalm 119, or the author of Psalm 119, verse number 2, says, happy are those who keep his decrees. Aren't you glad that it doesn't say depressed or bored or dull or burdened? Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. The more you seek him, the more you pursue him, how crazy is it? The happier you'll be. You'll be like, I'm changing. I feel freer. I feel better. I'm not going to say gooder. Gooder. Happy are those who have chosen to obey his words. John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandment. You'll obey me. He's saying a byproduct of our love for Jesus is our obedience to Jesus. It'll be motivated from love, not motivated from work. That the obeying part is actually one of the best parts of trusting Jesus as Lord. John 3, verse 36, Gospel of John, Jesus continuing to disciple his people, he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. The more you obey the Lord, the more you'll see all that he has for you. If you feel stuck in this season and your vision is cloudy, it's maybe because you're not obeying what he's telling you to do. And sometimes I think there's fear on the other side of our obedience, but really there's joy on the other side of our obedience. The wrath of God remains on him. The person who says, I believe, but I don't obey, something is off about that. Do you really believe? Have you received? I think about this gift. Nina blesses me with these shoes, and I think there's joy in receiving. Amen. There's joy in believing. These are mine, y'all. I haven't even opened them, but I got a gift. There's another level of joy when you open them up and you pull them out and you're like, you know what? Man, these are dope. I want to like examine them and you know what? I'm going to take the, I'm going to lace them up. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to receive these. But can I just tell you, if you just put them up on a wall or put them up in a box, you've received the gift, but then you put it in your collection. There's joy to that, but can I just tell you the greatest joy is when you, come on somebody, when you put them on. You gotta, can I just tell you, shoes weren't just meant to look at. Shoes were meant to be walked in. Shoe, look, if this is just a shoe, what makes it, this is actually doing its job when it's filled. When the right thing, then you can walk in it. Come on, amen. The fullness of the gift of Jesus. What's he trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't make Jesus a trophy. He's not a collector's item. Check out my shoe. I got blessed. I received it. Here he is in my house. I keep him on the wall. No. Jesus thought that you would actually walk out your faith. He actually thought you meant it when you said, I'm his hands and feet. Shoes are at their best when you walk in them. Shoes are at their best when you actually put them on, and it's got to be the shoes, right? Colossians 2:6. Come on, let me see it one more time and we'll close here. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, don't just make him a collector's item. Don't just be a, oh man, here's my baptism certificate when I was 8. This was my church shirt. I got a shirt that says Pursue on it. It was so cool, man. Are you walking in it? Are you walking in him? He wants you to walk in him. The only way to walk in him is if you've received him and are surrendered to him. So that the same life you read in the Bible about Jesus is the same life he's living through you. And that's the supernatural life of a Christian, amen? More than just doing something for God. This is the wrong way to think about Christ. Okay, Jesus saved me, now I gotta do all that I can for my God, because he's counting on me. No, Jesus has always been the one. He fills us. He fills us so we can walk in him. And he leads and we follow. And it's for our good. It's for the good of those in our lives and ultimately for his glory, amen? That's what it means to be free to walk in Jesus. Free from the penalty, power, and presence of sin, and now filled to walk in Jesus. That's our mission here at Walk Church. We want to pursue that in all of our lives, amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word today. God, I know I needed this message. I pray somebody here in the room was drawn to you from it and is now prepared to take a next step. Today, if you haven't received Jesus as Lord, I pray this would be your day. This would be the day of salvation where you would receive him as Lord and Savior. That's where you're at right now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air? That's where you're at. I see different people making a decision right now, ready to receive Christ. If that's you, would you just pray this prayer with me by faith? Call him Lord. Just say, Lord, I receive you. And I believe you died for all of my sins, all my shortcomings, all my struggles, all my failures, all my secrets paid for at the cross. I believe you rose from the grave And I ask you now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to walk in you. I don't want to walk alone. I don't want to walk by my own power. I receive you. I turn away from my sins. Lord, help me to do it. Help me to trust you and obey you. And when I fall, I'll get back up because you're my God and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.